Again, we said before, he stars in TNT's medical drama Monday Mornings. You might know him as Mike Chang Sr. on Glee, but tomorrow you will know him as one of the stars of Olympus Has Fallen, which opens nationwide tomorrow. Here he is, Kyung Sim. Kyung, are you there?
Hey, what's up?
Oh,
how are you?
Great. Thanks for coming on with us tonight.
Yeah, totally, totally. Listen, I'm in my... I'm in California, so I'm in a Prius. So this may switch over at any second.
Hold on a second here.
Well, we got nothing else better to do. No worries.
Do you evade me?
It's shocking you're driving a Prius.
I know. I was as an Asian, I was just getting...
It was amazing.
Okay, well, that's it.
All right, well, I also want to say congratulations. You recently got married, but I need to ask you the height of your popularity. Now, why? Yeah, why do it?
Why did I get married? I think it was that Richard Parker Tiger in Life of Pi was like, you know, I can either go on being single in this dinghy of life, or I can embrace the tiger that is my girlfriend and realize that it's me. I don't know if that made any sense, but...
Well, it makes sense. If she's a tiger in the bedroom, then go all... By all means, go for it.
That sounds like Cole's ultimatum.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Are you guys married at all? I mean, not to each other, but...
Well,
why can't we be married to each other?
Would there be something wrong with that?
I mean,
I just said I'm a huge fan of Glee,
yeah,
so...
you were on Glee. Come on.
Yes, yeah. It's okay to be a guy and straight and like Glee.
Sure it is.
I have some redemption now. Thank you. I have approval.
As for the skinny jeans and the other stuff, I can't help you there.
Well, I love the fact that when anyone looks up your biography on your website, the first thing they're going to see was Kyung's first film line was In the Butt in Marcy X, starring Lisa Kudrow and Damon Wayans.
Wow, what a cast.
Yes. It was directed by this guy named Richard Benjamin. Do you guys remember him?
Richard Benjamin is a classic. Saturday the 14th, Scavenger Hunt. I'll go on.
Yeah. It was trippy. It was a very trippy experience. It was one of those auditions where you go and Richard Benjamin, the person's there. No, I'm talking, I'm in San Francisco.
Listen, you're Asian, you're driving, pay attention.
Get me a burrito.
I'm parked, that's the whole thing. I know my limit.
And people are still scared.
Exactly. Forget it. So anyway, so Richard Benjamin, I'm in the callback, and the line, my first line, like the bio says, how I got my SAG card was in the butt. But I'm supposed to say it pretty sincerely, you know? And then, no one's seen the movie, but in the movie, there's a gang leader dude, and it's a montage scene, and he's like, I love my black, brown, purple, yellow, pink, all my brothers and sisters. I even love you, Lee Hung. That was my character's name. And I look at him sincerely, take a moment, say, in the butt, you know? And that in the butt was supposed to be like some popular lyric in the movie at the time, and it's like basically like it doesn't mean technically in the butt, it means like truly, sincerely, or trill, if you will. And so I said it, and then he's like, "Oh, that's amazing! Thank you for that honest moment." I'm like, "What's going on here?"
Well, I'm definitely using that phrase in the butt for now, when I mean truly and sincerely.
Yes.
Sincerely.
Mom, your lasagna is really good in the butt.
So you got to put a comma there and then look at her very sincerely and go, in the butt?
Or you can put a question mark. In the, butt?
Well, although you're doing a lot of drama, action stuff, you actually started your career in comedy.
Yeah. Improv is my first love.
Nice.
And one of the most challenging improv things that I would think of is when MTV had the show Boiling Points on. For those who don't remember, it was a hidden camera game show where the contestants didn't know they were playing a game. Like, your job you acted in the show, your job was to piss them off as much as possible. And if these people kept their cool for a certain amount of time, they would win cash prizes. So with that being said, you got to give us your best Boiling Point story.
Oh, my God. Let's see. There's so many. There's one where I was playing a bad sushi chef, like really gross sushi chef. And I think one woman was so horrified. I think she was on a date with a guy, and I think the guy was trying to close the deal, like a third date sort of thing. And but she was so horrified. I think she was like about to cry.
Was there a point where someone got so pissed off that there was almost in violence that kind of could have occurred?
You ever get choked?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it didn't happen to me, but I heard other cast members got bit on, and one dude got attacked. Billy Merrick, do you know him? He's this amazing improv actor and just an actor and a great guy. This guy, Billy Merrick, the kind of the, I don't know, the heavier set.
He does an amazing David Lee Roth impression, that dude. I know who he is.
Does he? I don't know. But, yeah, I think one time he was playing, he was in Central Park in New York and by the big pond or whatever, and he had this, you know, people, like, float their boats and just do stuff and go on romantic dates. People just date in New York. And I think he had a boat that just kind of, like, submarined other boats. And then one guy just got so crazy, I think he attacked Billy. And then after that, they realized they should probably provide some kind of security.
Well, we were talking before about Glee, my love of Glee, which I can't believe I'm saying out loud over the airwaves.
Say it proud.
I am. I'm going to say it loud and proud.
Say it loud.
So you were in Glee. You played Michael Chang Sr., one of the kids' fathers.
Yeah.
I need to ask you, how would you really react if your child wanted to communicate with you via song?
That's hilarious. I'd look at my son and be like, what's going on with you? Why are you talking to me via song? But beyond that, if you do it well, I'll be a little impressed, and maybe I'll let you out of the closet.
I can see. Just like you have an argument, you do a mashup song as an argument. Can you imagine that in real life, how that would apply?
That would be kind of hilarious.
Well, did you anticipate when they chose you for the role that you'd actually have to do some singing?
You know, no, I didn't, but I kind of wanted to, because in a former lifetime when I was acting in New York, I did a musical at the Public Theater, and I still didn't know how to sing, so I was kind of hoping to. I was kind of hoping to come back and do, like, you know, some, like, Journey or Air Supply song as Mike Chang Sr., you know, and talk about how disappointing my son is.
Could you do that with the accent that he had?
Well, in Glee, I didn't have an accent, which was kind of a relief. Like right now, in real life, I normally have an accent. Right now, I'm putting on my best American English.
Well, does it piss you off that, you know, most Asian characters, a lot of them, I would say, a lot of them have that accent that you have to do. It's very stereotypical.
Yeah. You know, it's like all kind of proof in the pudding. You know, if the role itself is just nothing more than, you know, just the accent and some jokes, then, you know, it's not super fun. It's not great for you. But like with Monday Mornings, if it's kind of more than just an accent, and you know, we play up my character Dr. Sung Park. We play up the kind of he doesn't totally get, you know, how to say American phrases and idioms, and he doesn't quite have the words for it. So we find humor in that. But you know, definitely having done a whole season of playing Dr. Park, you know, we find a lot of layers for him. Is that what you guys say, layers? Layers?
What do you mean, you guys?
What do you mean, you guys?
You call again to being gay again?
Again?
You're homophobic?
No, not gay. It's just, I wasn't born in this country. It's all these metaphors and idioms just baffle me.
Well, I heard a little rumor that after you got the part of Dr. Sung Park, you really had not a lot of medical, not a lot of medical experience. So you played a lot of doctor to study for the role.
I did. I played it with my wife, then fiance. You know,
smart.
She wasn't always into it.
But that's what makes it fun, right?
Yes, exactly.
Well,
yeah, that's the excitement.
You're a neurosurgeon in the show. Dr.
Yeah.
Sung Park is a neurosurgeon. What celebrity do you think is most in need of a lobotomy?
Oh my God, where to begin? What celebrities alive? Oh, yeah, there are a lot of ones that are alive, of course.
You're in San Francisco, right?
Yeah, I'm in San Francisco right now. My wife and I, we just got married. We decided to come up here and just get away from La La Land. I don't know. I mean, you know, there's so many celebrities. I just think the ones that last are the ones that have a pretty good sense of who they really are, and that any kind of hype that comes from any success roller coaster they're on is just short-lived. So, there, I evaded your question.
Well, no, I guess a more important question is, like you said before, you came from another country, and now we're in New York, but we've been to L.A. a couple times, and L.A. is completely different than New York, where it seems like everyone is really pretentious, and it's all about me.
Gross.
What kind of culture shock
do you
go for? There's got to be an amazing amount of culture shock.
I think the biggest culture shock is that you can't get drunk and drive home. I mean, you can't. I lived in New York for over 15 years, and I'm not recommending this to anybody, but yeah, I remember days there that I would ride my bicycle home in the rain over the Brooklyn Bridge. That's a whole different thing.
Yeah, it's totally different than what L.A. is. And you did mention that when
L.A. L.A.'s shallow, and, you know, it's like the rear doesn't match the front, and, you know, if you know what I'm saying and all this stuff. But in a weird way, it's kind of refreshing that way. I don't know why. You kind of like... Yeah, you know everybody's BS meter is really sharp if you live in New York. So come out to LA and it's like you're already ahead of the game, you know.
Yeah. Well, you did recently mention on Twitter that it was amazing seeing your face on a billboard for Monday Mornings. Is that the most surreal
game
you had so far in Hollywood?
Oh, the most surreal? Yeah, I guess so. It was pretty surreal, you know, to have like my face just floating on a billboard in Hollywood that I didn't actually paste up there was kind of great.
Well, you work a lot with David E. Kelly on Monday mornings.
Yeah.
What makes him so incredible? Everyone who ever works for him always has so many great stories about the guy. What makes him different?
Two words, Michelle Pfeiffer.
Exactly. Great answer.
Is she hanging around the set while you're filming?
I never got to meet her. I don't know if she exists.
She's just a figment.
You think she's not real?
Yeah, I never see the two of them in the same room. Why is that?
Well, another guy that you work with that there's always so much talk about is M. Night. I always see this.
Yes, M. Night.
He takes a lot of shit, M. Night.
Yeah, he took a lot of grief for that last film. But he was a lovely dude. I remember in our first table read, and I would see the whole cast, and we were in Philadelphia, and we were all chatting afterward, and he came up to me, and I knew who he was, and he came up to me, and I said, "Oh, hi, I don't know what to call you, but I play such and such a character in your film." And he just shook my hand and he smiled. He's like, "I know, I cast you. Welcome on board." And I'm like, "Ah."
Now you're talking about The Last Airbender.
Yes, The Last Airbender.
So what do you call him? Do you call him M? Do you call him Knight?
Sir?
It depends on how well you know him. I never got beyond Knight. Which was great because back at the end of the day, you just say, "Good night, Knight."
I would just like to call him Hey,
Oh, right.
What the hell is an airbender anyway?
Oh, it's based on that huge Nickelodeon series. It's kind of like a human with kind of like mutant abilities, but they the series is great. If you ever get to watch that, like you're just unemployed and you're homeless, just go to the public library and get the whole series, the Nickelodeon series, for example, or whatever you do.
How are you gonna watch it when you're homeless?
You can watch it on your phone
now.
On Netflix.
You can watch it at the public library.
Yeah.
It's not just for books anymore. That's what the new mother would be. What was I saying? But the series is great. So they have certain humans that have special kind of supernatural abilities, and they could manipulate certain elements like earth, wind, fire, and whatever R&D temptation group there is out there. So... kind of it.
So you played an earthbender?
I played an earthbender. I was so method. I was just in the compost, just bending earth.
If you could pick one superpower to have, what would it be?
A stupid power?
Superpower.
Oh, I said stupid power.
Well, both.
superpower, I think just flying would be cool. I don't want to read people's minds. We saw that Mel Gibson movie, and that was a terrible idea.
Which movie was that?
What Women Want. Or
wasn't that the one?
Oh,
what
yeah. What Women Want.
So you guys make fun of me for watching Glee,
you know,
but this guy's watching What Women Want.
Exactly. I'm way behind. No, I would want, like, a power, like, I want to be able to read minds, but of only, like, dogs, you know? Because you're not going to be too surprised. It's like, I want to pee. I want to poo. I want to eat your food. I want to pet.
Look at that leg, how attractive it is. Let me hump it.
Yeah, it's basically like most guys, it's basically the five things we want, right?
Well,
dogs everywhere are offended right now.
Oh, God, I lost that demographic again.
Well, you know what? This weekend, like we said before, it's the opening weekend of Olympus Has Fallen. Is this the biggest thing you've ever done in your career?
I guess so. I mean, I think it's going to be a huge film. We just had the red carpet premiere, and some dude named Morgan Freeman was there. I don't know.
That sounds kind of familiar. Yeah.
He said he played God or whatever, and he mentioned something about some redemption and Shawshank, and I was like, whatever. And driving somebody is somebody. Maybe I haven't seen an action film in a while, but it's a great, it's like, it's basically Die Hard in the White House in the best sense of it. It's going to be huge. It's very violent. It's nonstop action, and it's just a real fun movie. So, man, I love working with a lot of those cats on it. You know, my English nerd side is going to come out, but it was Dickensian, man. It was like the best of times, it was the worst of times acting wise. But the best of times were people like Melissa Leo, who scared me, and Gerard Butler he just knows, he's just so good. And Aaron Eckhart was lovely, and Antoine Fuqua, you know, he should win an Academy Award. I guess he already did. He's just such a lovely, respectful dude, and the people around him were fantastic. So I can't say enough good things about that experience.
That Gerard Butler gets all those Hollywood girls.
Oh, yeah,
right?
That broke.
Didn't
oh
they?
Oh my God!
What? Do you ever see him out on the town? You ever hang with him?
I tried hanging with him. I think I got two or three STDs just by being proximity.
Just from being in the same movie.
Not that he had the STDs. I'm just saying. It's just he's that much of a swirl of sexual energy.
Yeah, well, the first thing I would have done was ask him to smell his fingers.
Yeah, please. Can I be your friend, please?
Oh, God, yeah. Right.
Well, I heard that film had a lot of improv in it as well.
It did. Yeah, it really did. Dylan McDermott, who is awesome, he and I improvised a scene, and it ended up getting cut out, but basically, and it's not his fault, I ended up getting my my ear ruptured from him, whatever, eardrum perforated. I don't know what the phrase is.
I got
bitch slapped by him real hard. Let's put it that way.
You got humbled.
They cut that out.
Yeah.
That's on the DVD, no doubt.
Yeah, sure. It's on the DVD. All of Dylan McDermott's performing injuries to other people.
Oh, he's great, though. I love him.
Well, there was a rumor going on.
He
didn't like Asians.
No.
Yeah.
That way the
it's true, he doesn't.
I'm just kidding.
But it's not personal.
No, it's acting.
It's acting. He was getting in character.
Well,
that doesn't make sense. You'll see his character. It doesn't totally make sense.
I heard the first choice to play the first lady in this film was Winona Ryder.
Oh, interesting. I didn't know that. The first choice for my character of the Prime Minister from South Korea was Todd Bridges.
Nice.
Didn't want to do it. He's like, I'm not doing yellow face.
Oh my God.
What do you think of Kim Jong Il hanging out with Dennis Rodman?
Oh, Kim Jong Un, the Un of the Ill.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. The world's a strange place, dude. The world is a strange place. I think going to North Korea is probably like going to Disneyland for the first time, but on mushrooms and like some other like crazy psychotropics. And Dennis Rodman, I think, fits in that crazy world. So.
Well, it's funny that I was reading some reviews about the film. I'm dying to see it. I'm going tomorrow night, opening night.
Man.
But one of the reviews I read, and this is very odd, they said, is this film anti-Obama? A black president fails to prevent an attack from extremists tied to North Korea? Interesting. This is the world we live in now. Like that, they Wait. Tie this to this has got to be anti-Obama because they casted a black dude as president and he failed.
I don't think is Morgan Freeman the president in this movie or is
no
Eckhart the president?
Oh, Aaron Eckhart.
Yeah, Morgan Freeman.
Exact quote. This is what I read.
No, I believe you. I was asking him if Morgan Freeman.
You know what?
He's the speaker.
That doesn't make any sense. That guy is somebody you like, you know, hang out with and like, hey Bob, how's your day? And Bob's like, man, you just said something very anti-Obama. Like, what? I did not. No, that doesn't make any sense. I don't get it. Some people make everything political.
No, it doesn't make sense. Yeah, you can't just sit down and watch a movie, enjoy it. You always have to tie it to something different, something PC.
PC. I haven't owned a PC or. I don't know any words that begin or mid in the middle or anything that end with PC. I'm so on PC.
Well, we had a lot of email questions that people sent into us, and some of these are pretty unique. One right off the bat, let's start with an easy question. When was the last time you were starstruck?
It was seeing Morgan Freeman on set. I was pretty starstruck.
I couldn't imagine you not being. Like, guy's an icon.
Were you able to look at him?
Yeah. I couldn't look at him directly. You know, I had to kind of like my Catholic school upbringing was like I have to like flagellate myself and then do a couple Hail Marys before I could gaze upon him. Yeah. I thought he was going to look like a burning bush, but it's not true. God doesn't look like that.
Speaking of burning bushes, someone wants to know, who was the hottest woman you had the opportunity to work with?
Hottest woman, aside from Dylan McDermott.
I guess you like being smacked around a lot, huh?
Well, you know, that's just the beginning. Who's the hottest woman I've had to work, had a chance to work with?
Why you got married.
Yeah, my wife is a hot woman.
Aww, he plays doctor with her.
She is. Yeah. You know, this Monday morning series regular gig may not last if the series doesn't last, but this marriage is gonna. let me see. Why can't I think of that? Who's the hottest woman that I've? Gosh, I haven't gotten a chance to play with any really hot women.
What about Angela Bassett?
Is your wife in the car?
I didn't get a chance to do a scene with her. You know, back in the day when Ashley Judd came on.
We said hot women, not Angela Bassett.
Angela Bassett looks really good for her age.
We said hot women, Rita.
Okay,
hot.
Sorry.
Angela Bassett looks good. Gosh. Have I had any scenes with any women in my whole career?
What about Lisa Kudrow?
Oh, yeah.
How'd she look?
I didn't have a scene with her.
Oh.
Yeah.
Damon Wayans?
Didn't have a scene with him.
So then it is Dylan McDermott.
Any roles you missed out on? Any roles you missed out on?
Any roles I missed out? I don't know if I was ever in the running for anything huge. I don't think I was in the running. I think back in the day when they were casting for Harold and Kumar, I was living in New York, and the casting person came out from L.A. to visit, and I was like, oh, great. And it was like in the beginning of whatever, the first Gulf War, and I was like a big anti-war person back then. I mean, I still am. And I was coming from the rally, and I met with her somewhere up in the upper 50s, I think, or somewhere around Central Park West, at her dad's lawyer's office. And I did the scenes with her, and, you know, and then I started talking to her, and I think I was in my late 20s then, or whatever, early 30s, and I was talking to her, and she's like, how's your day? And I started, the war, blah, 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 terrible idea, it's going to put us in debt, besides all the, you know, killing innocent people and all this stuff, and our soldiers and everything, and she's like, wow, how old are you? And I'm like, oh, damn it, I'm supposed to be, like, just, like, in my early 20s. I'm like, dude, I don't know, I'm just as old as you need me to be. So I don't know if I was ever in the running for that, but I do kind of remember thinking, oh, yeah, maybe I should kind of play more age appropriate, if that was such a factor at all. But I think maybe, I think John Cho was in the bag all along. He's so great in it. But
you hate him?
I don't. I don't hate him.
Motherfucker's taking all the roles.
Well, it's funny. Someone actually emailed a question very similar to that. Would you kill Ken Jeong if that meant better parts?
Don't think that thought hasn't crossed. We just actually worked together for the first time on TBS's Sullivan and Sons. Do you guys know that show? My very funny friend, Steve Byrne, who's an awesome stand-up comic, it's his show. And Ken Jeong was like a special guest star. And yeah, I mean, I'll tell you, when I first met him, I was like, oh, yeah, let's see how funny you are. He's hilarious, and he's such a nice guy, and he gets this business, which is, you know, it's a freaking roller coaster, and you don't know what's in store for you. And he had some, like, really beautiful tales that he told about, you know, just this I haven't even seen The Hangover, but I guess he got naked and kind of went on this crazy rant.
Mm-hmm.
And not crazy rant, but he chose to do it. I hope it's okay for me to tell him his story. But, you know, what was going on in his life at the time was that I think his wife had breast cancer, and so working on this movie, but the truth was his mind and his heart and everything was, like, is my wife going to live? And I think Judd Apatow was cool enough to allow him to improvise this scene or do whatever this scene was, and he chose to do all that stuff. And I don't know. I just know when I meet people, when they're kind of just genuine people, you know, and who just kind of realize that these ups and downs in life are just really, it's not who you are, it's just where you are. So, and he's one of these guys, man. He's just such a chill dude, you know. So I can't hate him. I'm happy for his success, and he's just a cool dude.
Now, his wife is doing really well, from what I understand.
He was a doctor too. That dude.
He was.
He was a doctor before he got to comedy.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah, totally. What a huge disappointment he must have been for his parents.
Oh yeah, his parents must hate him.
Oh, my God. Like, somewhere in my genes, I hate him for having done that. But.
And look at the irony. You play a doctor.
I know.
I don't know. It's really sad and it's really touching what you just said, but I still would have stuck his – I would have took a pipe to his kneecaps and –
Give him the old Nancy Kerrigan.
I would.
Oh, my God. That's kind of becoming like a dated reference. Yeah, totally. Nancy Kerrigan. Tonya Harding. Well, oh, wait. Am I the Tonya Harding or the Nancy Kerrigan?
Oh, definitely
I'm the
Tonya
Harding.
You're the Tonya Harding. You're giving him
the
Nancy.
You would be the Tonya Harding. Yeah, and we don't even remember the dude that did it, actually, did it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we remember.
Absolutely.
We're on it.
Do you remember? I don't remember his
name.
Oh, yeah. All right, cast of Monday Mornings in a gang war against cast of Grey's Anatomy. Who wins and why?
I think we win because I think we're some of us are younger. wait, who's it? What? Grey's Anatomy. They may outnumber. Well, we got Bing Rames, man. Forget it. That's a ringer.
That's what I would
say. That's all you need.
Yeah, that's all you need. The guy's
Marcellus
like
Wallace.
Just exactly. Just let Bing Rames loose, and we're done.
Let him throw out a couple motherfuckers.
Let's take a couple calls
real
quick. Right now we've got Brendan from New York. Brendan, you're on the line.
Yeah, I was wondering why you guys get offended when people call you Orientals.
Oh, here's the thing. I don't get offended, but here's the thing, Brendan. It's just ignorant. It's not even accurate anymore. It's to me, if I hear Oriental, I don't get offended. I just think, oh, you're still stuck in like the 70s or before then. Like you haven't caught up. You know, you still call ATMs cash stations, you know, or you call cell phones pagers or something. It's like you got to catch up with the times. It's just to me, you're old. You don't get it. That's what it means. Even if you're not.
All right,
Brandon, I'm just saying.
Let's go to someone else. Let's go to Josh. Josh, you're on the line.
Hi there. In regards to Brendan's comment there about the Oriental thing. Now, you know, why do people still call each other by races and that when we're all freaking human here?
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
I agree.
Know, I think people need to grow up and realize that we're all one race, human race. There's no blacks. There's no Asians,
I definitely
no
know there's
whites.
Blacks. There's a black guy in the next room for me.
Well, yeah, but, you know, the category isn't like, oh, that black guy over there. You know, and then people say, oh, that guy. Which guy? The black guy.
Oh, that
what about the other guy?
Yeah.
Yes, the
Oriental. Yeah, I'm totally with you. You know, it's maybe it's just human nature. You know, it's we're gonna well now we can say, oh, we're human, and then look at those Scientologists over there. I mean, maybe now we can move on to that. You know?
Well, if you look back, like even to the most like recorded times ever, humans have had a stride for violence in that, and you know, people like to grind each other's gears just for the state of conflict and violence, you know, for the fun of it, basically. It's almost become a sense now, a part of human nature.
Yeah.
Josh, your phone call is making me want to get violent and angry.
Yeah, good question, nigga.
Oh, dear.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
Let's go. Alert.
Jesus Christ. Let's go to Gerard from Florida. Gerard, you're on the line.
Hey, Gerard.
Gerard?
Oh, I'm sorry, I was eating pizza.
Don't blame you.
Go ahead, don't mind me.
That's awesome. Some call.
Can't wait for 25 minutes
to eat a pizza.
It's very suspenseful. We'll wait to hear the ding on the microwave.
I got one that was just sent to us on Facebook. Seeing that Ryan Murphy seems to have all of his characters have some sort of homosexual experiences, do you expect the call to come eventually that they want to shoot a Chang Sr. coming out of the closet episode, and would you do it?
Chang Sr. coming out of the closet. Yeah, I don't know. You know what? No, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it because it just feels like that stuff's been done already. I don't know. I mean, it's true. Obviously, people are coming out of closets all the time. We got to update that. Like, maybe it's not the closet anymore. Maybe they're coming out of a Prius. Hey. but especially a Prius plug-in, you know. But, it all depends. You know, I wouldn't say no to anything. It's just kind of really devil's in the details sort of stuff. So if the episode's really good and I'm really desperate for a paycheck, then maybe I'll do it. But it's really in the material. And, you know, I would love to see the cast members again. I think Harry Shum Jr. is just a really fantastic human being, and he's going to have an amazing career. So he'd be happy to be working, but it all depends on kind of on the material, you know? And if I get to sing something like Singing Journey or something coming out.
Sing some Journey right now for us.
Yeah, he definitely has a Jones for Singing
Journey. Give us a couple lines.
I don't know. Maybe I'm just thinking of, like, the last episode of Sopranos or something. But it's definitely like, you know, when I grew up in my teenagers, it was like Journey, Air Supply, Why Are We Crying? Why is hair coming out
was
of
this in head? Korea? Is this where they were playing this?
No. I grew up in Chicago.
And you were listening to Air Supply?
Yeah. Journey. All that stuff. I know. Judge me. Yeah.
I didn't judge you.
We got Bonnie on Facebook wanted to know, what was your worst audition story?
Oh my God, Bonnie, there's so many. What was my absolute worst one? I blocked it all out of my memory, Bonnie. Thanks for
thanks for bringing up bad times.
Yeah, thanks for bringing up bad. I don't know. I try to remember the good stuff, Bonnie. That's what I do.
Block out the bad.
Yeah, I'm such a good auditioner. I can't think. Even when I just, you know, drop the kids off at the pool every day, I amaze myself.
One more last question. We have Claire.
Yeah. Sorry, Bonnie.
Don't worry about it.
Email me or Twitter me, and then I'll give you a better answer.
Claire wanted to know. Hold on.
I thought he'd improvise better.
I know, right?
Claire wanted to know, what kind of hobbies do you have outside the business?
I spend a lot of time with my dog, Oscar. I volunteer a lot with a group called Laughter for a Change, which is where we go and just kind of introduce improv to kids, mostly also Vietnam vets and other people who just don't really get a chance to do improv and just kind of do that stuff. I'm always doing my taxes, apparently. I never finish my taxes. My manager will tell you that. I don't know. I try to do a lot of stuff outdoors. Just kind of live life and not get in trouble too much.
Okay. Well, again, you want to check him out. A couple things you want to check him out. You want to check out Olympus Has Fallen, which opens nationwide.
Tomorrow.
I'm calling it right now. It's going to be the number one movie in America.
It should.
Wait till Monday.
For sure.
It will.
Yep.
People had enough
of us.
Yeah, enough of that. It's a piece of garbage. Did you see it?
I didn't see it, but I wouldn't want to see it.
That's awful. Time has come. It's time for a number one movie, and it's going to be Olympus Has Fallen. Check it out. Opening weekend.
It's a summer movie that's opening in the spring, essentially.
You know, we need something like that. We need a kick in the ass.
Yeah.
We really do. And also check out Monday Mornings on TNT, and hopefully one day you'll come back to Glee.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Or I'll come out to New York, and hopefully one day Brendan's pizza will ding on the microwave, and we'll
That was Gerard. Brendan was the other idiot.
Oh, sorry, Gerard.
Two idiots.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us. And you know what? If people want to connect with you on the social media sites, what's your Twitter address?
It's at KongSim, KeongSim. Or they could just go to my Facebook fan page, or sometimes I'm on JD.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, man.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Good time.
Take care.
Kong.